KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 67 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a high today of 88 with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. The National Weather Service says severe storms bringing damaging wind, hail, and areas of moderate to locally heavy rainfall is anticipated this afternoon into tonight. Total rainfall amounts are forecast to average from 0.5 inch to an inch, with over 2 inches locally possible in some locations. The storms will follow a similar pattern to weather to Wednesday, where development begins late in the afternoon and continues into the late night hours. The heaviest rain is expected to fall from Highway 20 in the north to Highway 34 in the south. 0.5 to 1 inch of rain can be expected in most areas, as I mentioned, with higher amounts of 2 inches or more. There is the potential for flash flooding tonight as well, so be prepared to take shelter if you plan on being outdoors and to seek higher ground should flash flooding develop. Keep up to date with the latest forecast and weather bulletins on KJAN, our mobile apps, and social media. Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones Wednesday night set the rules for how public forum portions of the city council meeting will be handled. The unwritten mandate follows a time of public comment during the May 16th council meeting, where two local business owners got into a verbal sparring match with Jones and councilperson Kathy Summers over proposed business incentives and the prospect of grants being provided instead of loans.
So we're going to ask that they going to come to public forum. You have 2 minutes to speak. That's always been that way. It's going to be standard. If it gets redundant, we'll have to just say, if it's redundant, we'll have a person sit down. So basically, on public forum, you got to come to the podium and speak. Don't from the back, saying you'll be able to talk. You know, if you want to raise your hand and come up, you can come up and raise your name, where you're from, and what you want to talk about. You got 2 minutes. That's going
to
be it.
Jones said also anyone wishing to address the council at future meetings should fill out an online form indicating the topic you wish to talk about and submit the form to the City Hall prior to the next meeting. And those forms will be available within a couple of days on the city's website. If something comes up during the council discussion on a matter that you do not understand, you'll be required to raise your hand. And again, as mentioned, come to the podium when called on. Atlantic resident Bill Saluk said during last month's meeting was inappropriate, but he questioned the two-minute rule.
It seems like the function of government should be to be responsive to its citizens, and that seems to make it much more complicated to be able to express your opinion and get anything done.
He also questioned the validity of unwritten rules and the legality of enforcing them when there is no written procedure.
You said these are unwritten rules. They're not in city code anywhere, regulation. Then, in my opinion, and I could be wrong, I'm not a lawyer, I haven't looked it up, but to me, unwritten rules aren't rules at all. If you're really serious about having some time limit and proper procedure, then perhaps it should actually be in city code. It should have a forum and be voted on.
Oh, we're not. We'll just play this way. Play this way by ear. They'll probably announce each time public forum is for 10-minute warning.
As for the city council, Jones says if they have a question during a public forum part of the meeting, he suggests it would be best if they, quote, refrain from asking questions, but they may still ask. He added that no action can be taken by the council on a particular matter during a public forum. Any action would have to come on the heels of a recommendation from whichever committee is assigned to tackle certain matters. Thomas Schroeder, one of the business persons who was at that May 16th meeting, asked when the online forum would be available and how soon an issue may be addressed by the council. Mayor Jones says anywhere from 2 weeks to 1 month, depending on the complexity of the issue. Schroeder was in a meeting with Dave Jones with regard to business incentives prior to the last council session. That meeting was the topic of the aforementioned May 16th heated discussion, during which Schroeder and his business partner, Taylor Kemmes, alleged Jones pushed them toward other incentives instead of the Economic Development Revolving Loan or EDR fund. Councilman Chris Jimerson suggested also that in the future, if the mayor or any council member meets with a citizen or business owner on official city business, another council person and or the mayor should be present to act as a witness to that discussion. He said that would alleviate any contradictory statements made by city officials. And with regard to the City of Atlantic providing grants as an incentive to new business owners instead of loans, Fifth Ward Councilman Dick Cassidy said that'll never happen.
The city, as long as I'm on the council, we'll never give away money, grants, okay? We don't get it back, okay? We've got to have that money come back so we can help someone else. It's got to be in the form of a loan, a low interest rate loan. And so I would never permit giving away money for grants to help you downtown. I understand why you want it, and it's a good idea, But the city cannot afford to do that.
Mayor Jones said, for the record, that is Cassidy's opinion and represents only one vote on the council, should that issue ever come up for a vote. Officials at the Cass County Landfill and Recycling Center said Wednesday that effective July the 1st, they will no longer be accepting glass as recyclable material. As a result, the green recycling containers located throughout Cass County will cease to have compartments dedicated to glass recycling. All residents will need to place their glass containers in with their regular garbage. The decision to eliminate glass recycling was made after careful consideration by the Cass County Environmental Control Agency and involved several determining factors. Officials said the most critical of those factors is that there are simply no markets willing to pay for the material in our vicinity, and the weight of the material made transportation costs prohibitive. Other considerations include the need for space and recycling containers for other materials that are more easily recycled, such as metal and plastic. The ongoing issue of broken glass around the recycling sites also caused safety concerns for residents. Officials note that glass recyclers are not able to process material such as window glass or Pyrex, and any combination can make the entire load unredeemable, as the glass is likely to break when it's placed in the bins and pieces would commingle. There is no environmental concern, however, because glass is non-toxic. It's made of sand, limestone, and ash. The Landfill Board wants to thank the residents of Cass County for their continued recycling efforts and encourages anyone with questions to call them at 243-1991. Cass County Master Gardeners offer a $1,000 scholarship annually available to students who are graduating seniors or graduates of any Iowa school districts in which current members of the CCMG reside. The 2018 scholarship was awarded to Cole Madsen of Exira EHK, who will be attending DMAC, enrolled in their horticultural program. The goal of the Master Gardener program is to support horticulture education and community service. Cass County Master Gardeners provide many hours of volunteer service in their communities. And accordingly, the scholarship is intended to provide post-secondary funds to individuals who are studying or intend to pursue a career in a horticulture-related field. The scholarship winner is selected based on academic success, a history of community service, and their career goals. Demonstration of interest and experience in horticulture is also encouraged. For more information on the Master Gardener program, contact the Cass County Extension Office at 243-1132. Elsewhere in the news, the Creston Police Department reports 38-year-old Ryan Reinhardt of Creston was arrested Wednesday evening. Reinhardt was taken into custody at his home at around 7:15 p.m. on a Blackhawk County warrant for forgery. He was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting transport to Blackhawk County. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports a woman was arrested Tuesday night for being a fugitive from justice. 56-year-old Kelly Jo Hogdahl of Henderson was taken into custody at around 9:45 p.m. and held without bond in the Mills County Jail. And Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports 3 separate arrests and an accident took place earlier this week. At around 12:20 a.m. Monday, a Page County deputy stopped a car for speeding near the intersection of M Avenue and Highway 2. Afterward, 26-year-old Christopher Ryan May of Shenandoah was arrested for driving under suspension. He was booked into the Page County Jail on bond, later posted bond, and was released pending further court proceedings. Tuesday night, Page County deputies were called to 2561 Upland Avenue in rural Page County. The caller stated that a wife had shot at her husband. The investigation indicated 52-year-old Rebecca Ann Christie had been verbally arguing with her husband, 57-year-old Richard Lynn Christie, on the property. Rebecca entered the residence, returned outside with a .40 caliber handgun, and fired the weapon. Neither party reported any injuries. Rebecca was arrested on charges of domestic abuse, assault, and reckless use of a firearm, and she was being held in the Page County Jail without bond. At around 3:15 p.m. Sunday, 32-year-old Jonathan Steele of Clarinda was arrested for driving while license revoked and OWI second offense. He was also cited for speeding. That was following a traffic stop. Steele was transported to the Page County Jail and posted $3,000 bond and was released. And one person was transported to the hospital following an accident that happened just before 10 p.m. Monday at Highway 71 and 280th Street in Page County. Authorities say 57-year-old Darla Peregrine of rural Coyne had been stopped at Highway 71 in a northbound lane waiting for oncoming traffic to turn west onto 280th Street. 64-year-old Deborah Lynn Jenkins of Clarinda was traveling north on Highway 71 also. Her pickup hit the rear of Peregrine's Buick, causing a total of $2,000 damage. Peregrine was transported to the Clarinda Regional Health Center with unknown injuries. Jenkins claimed not to be injured. There were no citations issued. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.